This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me are Dashran Johan and Lim Soo Ann. We have two stories for you today. First up, the city of Yiwu in China is launching a database which allows individuals to check if their prospective partner has a history of domestic violence. So we take a look at how such a database would work and how it could be implemented.
And for our second story, well, this month marks the 15th anniversary of Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins. So we'll be taking a look at, you know, what the pop culture landscape was like before Batman Begins and how this movie has changed the game.
Right. So in relation to that, we have a poll over on Twitter at BFM Radio. So we are asking you if you are a fan of Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins. You know, the options we have are yes, definitely, and no, hashtag not my Batman. So you can also tell us why and why not, you know, even share fond memories you have of the film. Alternatively, you can also WhatsApp us your thoughts at 018-789-8899.
So we'll revisit that after in the second half of the show. But first,
so earlier last week, the Chinese city of Yiwu in eastern Zhejiang province announced that they will be rolling out a searchable domestic violence database. So this database has been called the first of its kind in the country, and it will allow people who are getting married to check if their prospective partner has a history of domestic violence. So it would include information on convicted abusers across China and those subjected to restraining orders or detention. It will also include people who have been charged with domestic violence against their partners, older persons and siblings. And this database would be updated in real time and will make its debut tomorrow, actually, on the 1st of July. Mm-hmm. However, the database will only include information that's been available on the records from the year 2017 onwards.
Right. So according to Chinese news website The Paper, people who are planning to get married will soon be able to fill up a form to see if their partners have any history of violence, and I quote, either between family members or during cohabitation. So it also goes on to say that all they need to do is provide a formal form of ID as well as personal information on their partner.
There are, however, safeguards in place to protect the information given out through this database. So one person can only make a maximum of 2 inquiries a year, and they would also have to submit a letter agreeing to confidentiality rules, which prevents the information from being copied and disseminated.
Right. So while this is the first of its kind in China, there are other similar systems in place elsewhere in the world. So in the UK, Clare's Law was introduced in 2014, which allows people to find out from the police if their partner has a history of domestic violence. So it's named after Clare Wood, who was murdered by her ex-boyfriend in 2009, who had a previous record of violence against women.
Mm. And compared to Yiwu's database, Clare's Law actually goes a step further and also provides for the right to know. So this is where the police can proactively disclose information about a potentially abusive partner. So besides the UK, similar systems based on Clare's Law have been implemented in countries like Northern Ireland, New Zealand and Canada.
So this move by the city of Yiwu has received much praise within China itself. So on popular microblog Weibo, social media users have been calling for the system to be rolled out nationwide, because right now it's only accessible to those living in the city. And Zhou Danying, the vice chairman of the Yiwu Women's Federation, which is one of the government bodies involved in the program, told the paper that the purpose of the system is to quote-unquote prevent and reduce the likelihood of domestic violence. And she also adds that often people only find out about their partner's domestic violence history after marriage. So with this database, she says, and I quote, partners can know beforehand and consider whether to marry.
Yes, so China has long been grappling with the issue of domestic violence, with the public calling out for greater accountability. And before 2001, physical abuse was not even grounds for a divorce in China. And their anti-domestic violence law only came into effect in March 2016. That's only 4 years ago. And we've also spoken about how lockdowns during this pandemic have further exacerbated cases of domestic violence. For example, in the Hubei province, which was, of course, the original COVID-19 epicenter, local activists reported that domestic violence reports to the police had more than tripled in one of the counties alone during the month of February.
And last month, China also introduced a new law involving a 30-day cool-off period to give both parties time to rethink their decision, which prolongs the divorce process. While it does not apply to families with a history of domestic violence, there are concerns that not all cases can be detected. There are also fears that this could be used to coerce partners into backtracking or deter victims from speaking out or leaving abusive relationships.
Mm. So right now with this searchable database, at least in the city of Yiwu, you know, which allows individuals to find out if their partner has a history of domestic violence, will this actually help to protect individuals from instances of domestic violence? So to help us discuss this, we have on the line with us Sheena Gurbakash, President of the Association of Women Lawyers. Welcome to the show, Sheena. So with the introduction of the database like that in Yiwu City, what impact does greater transparency have on domestic violence cases?
The thing is this, you have to understand the psychology of domestic violence. Domestic violence doesn't happen because someone gets up one morning and decides to whack another person. People who work in the field will tell you that there is a period of grooming. You know, it starts off psychological, where the abuser makes the victim feel dependent, feel inadequate, and then it grows from there. You know, the abuser will isolate the victim from friends, from family, from all these kinds of people. And abusers know how to pick on people who are particularly vulnerable. So the other question is, if you're madly in love with someone, A, will you go and do a background check? Two, if somebody did that background check for you and came and said, excuse me, this person has got a history of whatever, are you going to believe them? Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult to actually, you know, penetrate and say that this will work. But I think if you're the kind of person who says, you know what, I'm going to go and do a background check before we get married, then you already have some inkling that something's not right. Mm-hmm. And the very fact that you're intending to do it should already be a huge warning flag that maybe this wedding might not be the greatest idea in the world.
Mm. So how would a database like this compare to a sex offenders registry, for example?
Okay, this is how the sex registry works, certainly here. That we have a child sex offenders registry. And basically, you have to be convicted of a crime to be put on that registry. But we need to step back and say, how does domestic violence regulation work here? So what happens is, if you are in a relationship where domestic violence is happening and you are in fear, you go to the police, you make a report. Either through the police or social workers, you then get an interim protection order, which then stops the perpetrator of the violence from coming into contact with you. This is an interim protection order until the investigation is complete. At that point, should the police decide to charge the person, you then apply for a permanent protection order while the trial goes on. And then at the end of the trial, there is a conviction or an acquittal depending on what happens in court. So the question now is, given that you've got layers here, at which point will you end up on this registry, if such a registry exists?
So from the perspective of the individual asking for information from such a registry, what are the concerns for their safety, especially if their partner does have a history of violence?
In the UK, for example, they've got this thing called Clare's Law. And according to Clare's Law, which is a system they've implemented nationwide, you can go to the police if you are in a relationship with someone, if you're married to someone, or even if you are a relative of someone who might be at risk of domestic abuse. So a parent, a sibling can go to the police and say, this is the person, please do a check for me. You have to give them a basis for why you're doing the check. And what the police do is they do an assessment. So they don't just look at their own records. They also look at social services records and they look at prison department records. They undertake to do this within 35 days. And at that point, you're invited to an interview where the police will either disclose the risk, if there's a level of risk, and they will come up with a safety plan for the person asking or the person who is at risk. So that is a very comprehensive way of doing it. It's not so much a database. It is actually the police stepping up and saying, we will take responsibility for safety. And if you think you are at risk or someone you are related to is at risk, we will step in and work out a plan for you. So you can't just have a list of people and then say, yes, you know, the person's on this list. Thanks very much. Go live the rest of your life. It's got to have some kind of complementary component with probably psychological support or social workers or other agencies that can step in and protect you from this person. Because to have to go to this person and say, hey, by the way, I'm calling off the wedding because, is really going to put you in a very, very bad light and put you potentially in a huge amount of danger.
So when information is requested about domestic violence records, to what extent can or should the details of a person's history be passed on?
The fundamental question is this. Do we have an inherent right to privacy? Now, it very much looks like in Malaysia, we don't. We don't have a right to privacy. There is no such inherent thing anywhere. It's not in our constitution. It's not written into any law except maybe the PDPA. You can't actually ask for information even on the sex offenders registry list without an IC number. So that means you need to get this person's IC number for the check to be carried out. But if you're going to share your life with someone, it's a question of mindset. Is it so wrong to say, hey, you know, before we go much further, can I have your credit history? Can I have a background check? Can I have your medical history? Are these not things that should be normal to ask for? Because we would do it in every other sphere of life. But yet somehow when it comes to marriage, it's not allowed. And, you know, it raises all kinds of issues of you don't trust me enough, you don't love me enough, you don't whatever enough. But why shouldn't we ask for these things?
That's right. So then, you know, what are the safeguards that should be in place to prevent an abuse, to prevent the abuse of a system or a database like this?
There have to be safeguards, for example, on who can ask. And I think there have to be safeguards on why they are asking. Certainly, I think in the UK and in parts of the US where they've implemented Clare's Law and implemented those safeguards, from what I've seen on their websites, they've done it extremely well. You actually fill in a form and it's by the police's discretion as to what they disclose and how much they disclose. And I really like the fact that they've got a system where it's not where you send in a piece of paper and they send you back a piece of paper. They will actually call you in and have a conversation with you before they hand anything over to you. And I think that's an excellent safeguard. But the fundamental question is also this, which is, if you've got a registry of domestic violence perpetrators, the question is, at what point do we say this person is confirmed a perpetrator of domestic violence? Because we know there are many levels of this. We know there's psychological violence as well. We also know, in Malaysia anyway, the protections for domestic violence are only between husband and wife, not between people who are cohabiting, not between people who are going out. And very often, that's where the problem really starts. It starts at very early stages. So what we really need is a complete mindset shift when it comes to relationships as a whole. We need to start thinking about teaching people what the warning signs are. That if these things are happening to you early in a relationship, get out, run. You don't wait till, you know, the eve of the marriage to decide to go and do a search.
Thank you for speaking to us, Sheena. That was Sheena Gurbakash, president of the Association for Women Lawyers, speaking to us about the ideas of implementing a database which allows people to check if their future spouse has a history of domestic mm-hmm. violence. And that's because this is something that's being implemented in Yiwu, China. So kind of an interesting discussion to have about whether that's something that could serve someone, you know, something like Malaysia well, for instance. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it'll really help in terms of tackling domestic violence?
I think it's tough to see if it will help, right? I think on paper, it seems like a good idea because at least there is one, it might not solve the problem, but at least there is an avenue where if you feel unsure about your spouse, if you want to do a check, there is that avenue available for you to make that decision, rather than there being no options at all for you to do any sort of background check. But because in some cases, you might not want to confront the other person and ask them directly to their face if you know this is something, if this is something that you're really concerned about. Because if you are worried about your partner being potentially abusive, you wouldn't want to confront them about it.
I think that's more or less where I land as well, because we don't know if it'll really work until, you know, it's actually in development, or if it's really out here in Malaysia, and then like a few years later we have some stats or, you know, those kinds of things. But I think in concept it's a good idea, because I have to, you know, second what Sheena said earlier, where he's like, why shouldn't you know about all these things?
That's right.
Like these days, you know, given our landscape, people are also, you know, things that were very taboo before, for example, like your partner's sexual history, STDs, all these kinds of things, people are asking, and I think you should ask all these questions. So when it comes to domestic violence, something is as serious as that. Definitely, if you have a way for people who are, you know, if they're unsure, they can go to a place where they feel it's safe. I'm assuming, you know, when you go to this kind of place, it will be safe, and ask, you know, where I'm seeing this guy. Does he have a history of, you know, beating up his previous wives and stuff like that?
I do think, though, that the point that she made about the very fact that something has prompted you to go check already means that there are probably warning signs in a relationship. And someone doesn't need to have a history, doesn't need to have a documented history of violence for them to be exhibiting violent behavior in a relationship. So I do think, though, that having a database like this is not the only answer. And Sheena did mention this as well, the fact that you have to have comprehensive counseling. We have to teach people to recognize when they are in abusive relationships and constantly educate people that you should get out, that you don't have to remain in this situation. And I think those things are also important, because often when something like a database comes into play, people tend to think like, oh, okay, we've resolved the issue. But that's only resolving one aspect of the issue and not really taking a comprehensive approach.
Yeah, it's important that this is just seen as one part of a bigger solution to a problem like domestic violence, and not that that's it, you know, I've done my job.
And of course the question of safeguards is really important as well, because these are these are things about a person's past that can be quite damaging in many ways, and how they are used, I'm sure, is something that many of us will worry about. But yeah, I think it's something worth discussing, and I'd be quite keen to see how this pans out in a place like China, actually. That's all the time we have for this story, but you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us. We will be back after a quick break, but first here's I Need to Know by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.